Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, Steve. Great. And we are here at our new time, which I hope you're all used to now, Sunday evening at 7:30 p.m. on the Word 1220. And we have had kind of a long series of shows on Advent, Christmas, Epiphany.
We really stretched it out.
And last week you heard Rabbi Eric Lakatos from Tikvat Israel do a teaching, and now here we are already at the end of January, believe it or not.
Wow.
Now we're going to get into where we left off in November.
If you remember that.
If you can remember November.
You should give them time to go back and listen to a couple shows on the website.
Yeah, you go to the website. We'll be back in a couple hours. No, but we had been, before we got into the Christmas season, we had been going through the book of Romans. Mm-hmm. And talking about salvation in the covenant of grace, and how Paul had done this beautiful explanation about how the covenant of law had now transferred into the covenant of grace because of Jesus the Messiah and his death on the cross. Mm-hmm. And Paul's explaining during the chapters that we went over, which were, I think, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, something like that, but how people were, including himself, were unable to keep the law and therefore didn't have any righteousness of their own. Mm-hmm. And now they're covered with this righteousness that comes apart from the law, which comes from God.
Yeah.
Because of Messiah Yeshua. And we're going to get into chapter 8, which is really, really an awesome, awesome chapter. And, you know, a lot of people quote from 8:28, which is all things work together for the good for those who love God.
Mm-hmm.
And the following verse, which is, and are called according to his purposes. But what leads up to that, we're going to talk to today. We're going to go about, I don't know, the first 11 or 12 verses, hopefully.
I think we'll get that far.
But I don't know. But time goes so fast. You know, at one of the Bible studies that I teach, we've been going through the Song of Songs, and we end up doing about 4 verses per every 2-hour session. So by the time we're done with the book, Jesus may come back.
Yeah.
Or, but anyway, but Paul writes, you know, such a beautiful dissertation about this, you know, and of course, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We've talked many times about how Paul, when he was Saul of Tarsus, mm-hmm. was, you know, zealous for the law, and nobody was more zealous for the law than him. He has this amazing conversion on the road to Damascus. You know, Jesus personally intervenes, and he has his conversion, and then he becomes the apostle to the Gentiles, the apostle of grace, as he's also known. And really quite an amazing character. And as I always tell people, you know, I want to meet him like the first day I'm in heaven.
Yeah, go to Starbucks.
Go to Starbucks. Yeah. I think I've said that before. Because I want to hear, like, firsthand what happened to him. But anyway, so I think what we're gonna do is take this, like, a verse or two at a time. Stephen, why don't you read verses 1 and 2? This is Romans chapter 8.
Okay. Hence, now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has freed you from the law of sin and death.
Hmm.
Wow.
Pretty awesome. There's no condemnation. So if you're in Christ, there's no condemnation.
Yeah.
And that's an amazing writing, an amazing passage.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you think about what that means, there's no condemnation. If you're in Christ, nobody can condemn you. Who can condemn you? You know, your friends can't condemn you. Your family members can't condemn you. People at your workplace can't condemn you. You know, Satan can't condemn you.
Right.
I mean, there is no condemnation. I mean, this is the safe refuge that we have.
Yeah.
Because now we're freed from the law of sin and death.
Yeah.
I mean, we had, you know, as we talked about in these other chapters, you know, the Roman road, as it's sometimes called,
mm-hmm.
you know, all men sin, therefore all men die.
Right.
It's one thing we all have in common in our lives. We all sin and we all die.
Yeah.
Well, taxes too, but, you know, so we all sin and we all die.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the common human experience. And now Paul says we're freed from that if we're in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the, if you look back in chapter 7, toward the end of chapter 7, you know, Paul's kind of, you know, got this conflict going on. The things he wants to do, he doesn't do.
Yeah.
The things he doesn't want to do, he keeps doing them.
Right.
You know, how many of you can identify with that?
Yeah.
Oh, I think I'm going to do this really good thing. Well, actually, I'm going to do the thing I don't want to do.
Yeah.
And I keep doing it over and over again. And I say, you know, Lord, I don't want to do this anymore. And then the next day, I do it again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Paul himself, you know, says, the things I don't want to do, I keep on doing. And he says, who's going to deliver me from this?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, this is our life as a human.
Yeah.
And he's using this in reference to, I really have a heart where I want to follow the law. You know, he talks about, in chapter 7, he talks about how my heart wants to do it.
Right.
My soul, my spirit want to do it.
Yeah.
But my body says, hey, you know what? No more of this. Let's just relax and have something to eat and have some fun.
Yeah.
And so, you know, our fallen human nature goes that way.
Yeah. Yeah. He's really caught. He's talking about what we all face is our flesh wars against the spirit.
Yeah.
You know, the carnal against the spiritual. And,
yeah.
You know, if you do look back in chapter 7, at the end of chapter 7, you know, he goes through that in almost an anguish.
That, yes, it is an anguish.
You know, his heart is to follow the law of God in the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But he knows that his human nature, his earthly nature,
mm-hmm.
wants the war against the spirit of God.
Yes.
And he, you know, you give in to the desires of the flesh.
Yeah.
And all through his writings, you see Paul saying, you know, resist the devil and don't give in to the desires of the flesh.
Yes.
And he exhorts people to do that.
Yeah.
And, you know, but the line that he has in Romans chapter 7 is, you know, miserable one that I am, who will deliver me from this mortal body? You know, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
And so, and he says, I myself, with my mind, serve the law of God, but with my flesh, the law of sin.
Yeah.
And so he's really drawing that contrast that in our human nature, we are going to fall into sin.
Mm-hmm.
But if we follow the Spirit is what enables us to follow the law of God.
Yes.
With our heart.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's going to develop that in this chapter as we go on. That's exactly right. And that's the only way he's going to be delivered.
Yeah.
I mean, when you see, and you're right, you know, he has this kind of anguish and frustration.
Yeah.
I want to do good things and I don't.
Yeah.
I keep doing the bad things.
You
know, it's like I have a willing heart that I want to do these things.
Mm-hmm.
But my flesh says, nah, you don't want to do that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You want to do this stuff.
Right.
And so he says, you know, wretched man that I am, you know, depending which translation. I love that. Wretched man. Who's going to deliver me from this? He says it's going to be Christ is going to deliver me from this. And it's a very frustrating position. Now, you know, when he says there's no condemnation, you know, he's not saying there's no accusation against us. There's plenty of accusation against us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus himself said, you know, when you come to judgment, you're going to answer for every idle word.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a really scary thing.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the strict law of judgment.
Yeah.
I mean, there's 613 laws.
Right.
And so, you know, an idle word, I mean, you're having a conversation with your wife or one of your friends or, you know, I'm talking to Stephen about so-and-so, and I say, he's what a jerk. I mean, it's an idle word.
Yeah.
But I have to answer for that.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm left in my own devices, if I'm going to be judged according to the law, I violated the law. There's going to be repercussions for what I did.
Right.
Every idle word. So now, so he doesn't say that there's no accusation against us. He doesn't say that there's not anything that deserves condemnation. He just says there is no condemnation
in Christ,
but there should be condemnation.
Right.
So we're delivered from that. You know, the indictment's kind of thrown out.
Right.
You know, the indictment is, you know, he just called so-and-so a jerk. There's an indictment under the law. But now, if I'm in Christ, that law, that indictment is thrown out.
The accuser, the devil, yes, still accuses us.
Sure.
But Jesus says, not guilty.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the condemnation, you know, is, as he explains it, the condemnation that's due to us through the law is satisfied. It's
right.
Gotten rid of.
Mm-hmm.
Because Jesus, through his sacrifice, paid for that. Paid the penalty that I deserve to pay. He made the satisfaction. As we talked about many times on this show, you know, the cup of wrath, the cup of God's wrath is poured out on him.
Mm. Yeah.
Instead of on us.
Exactly.
Whereas we're the ones who deserve it.
Right.
And interestingly, we were talking earlier about a song, which comes from the book of Zephaniah, which in Hebrew is called Roni Roni, which is a
rejoice.
Yeah, rejoice. But it's really cool because it comes, you know, Zephaniah obviously is an Old Testament prophet,
mm-hmm,
and he writes, you know, the Lord has taken our punishment.
Yeah.
Which, you know, if you would have been there with your scroll at the temple, and you would have said, read, the Lord has taken our punishment, you would have thought, wow, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now we know what that means.
Yeah.
He's taken our punishment. He's made satisfaction for the law.
Yeah.
So the condemnation that's due to us, he's gotten rid of.
Mm-hmm.
That's the good news.
It's a free gift.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we have a new life. You know, before, you know, what he's talking about in chapter 7 is he's a prisoner of the flesh.
Right.
You know, the flesh is kind of controlling him in the sense of he wants to follow the law and do, you know, holy things. But the flesh says, we're going to go this way instead.
Yeah.
And then your body says, you know, your carnal secular self says, yeah, that certainly looks more fun.
Yeah, let's go down that road.
That looks a lot more fun than going to church.
Your spirit's saying, no, don't go down that road.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we have a new life. He says we've been liberated, mm-hmm, from sin and death. You know, there was a certain, you know, he talked before about how we were kind of slaves to the law. We were trying to follow the law. There was almost like, you got the idea, like, there's almost a drudgery to it. I have to do these things. I have to do this. And I have to do them in a certain way. And I have, mm-hmm, to make sure I get it right. There's no wiggle room in the law.
Right.
And, you know, the drudgery and the oppression of that is gone,
mm-hmm,
now. Because now we're living in freedom by the Spirit. We have,
yeah,
the Spirit and the freedom.
Yeah.
And it's, we have a totally different situation where now we want to worship. We want to go to the church. We want to do the Bible study. We want to do the prayer group.
Right.
We want to do whatever it is. It isn't a drudgery. We want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Not because we think that we're going to somehow earn our way to something, but it's because we understand that by what he's done, we're now happy to do what he wants us to do.
Yeah.
It's not a drudgery.
And, you know, even though, as you're talking, even though there's that joy of serving the Lord and doing that, I think there's those times where probably every believer and everybody who ministers at times feels, oh man, I'm, you know, I'm really tired today and I'd really like to maybe not do that.
Yeah.
Or rest.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Lord impels us to, you know, to go out and do his will. And I think when you find, you know, I know we've talked about how when Peter and the guys were fishing out in the boat and it was late at night and Jesus says, you know, cast your net over to the other side,
mm,
and it's late and they're probably tired and they go, oh, okay, we'll do what you know, it's your command, Lord, we'll do what you say. And they catch this huge amount of fish.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when we find that when we're at our weakest point and we're tired and we say yes to God and we put our own self aside,
mm-hmm,
and do what God wants to do, there's usually a great harvest or something that happens that, you know, we go, wow.
Yeah.
Praise God that I didn't say no.
Yeah.
You know?
That's right.
And it's really quite amazing how God works through those situations
right.
in our human weakness.
Yeah.
You know? And I think it's a lot of times I think back and I think, you know, that's just God being glorified because I can't take any credit for it.
Exactly right.
Exactly. Yeah.
And you can't even take credit for your faith. You can't take credit for your salvation.
Mm-hmm.
You can't really take credit for much.
No.
As we said before in all these lessons we did from Romans, how many times does Paul say, well, I can't really boast about anything.
Exactly.
There's no boasting involved.
Yeah.
Because this was done for me.
Yeah. I mean, look at chapter 7. He's like,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm sitting here doing stuff I don't want to do, not doing stuff I should be doing, but I'm still getting saved.
Praise God.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty awesome. So we're not, you know, prisoners of this law. We're not prisoners of this, you know, kind of oppression. And this is really the heart of the good news.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because and of course, as we talked about before, this is not to say that you live your life doing whatever you want and say, oh, well, you know, there's grace covers everything.
Yeah.
Grace covers everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, at the end, it's all grace and grace covers everything.
Yeah.
That's very dangerous thinking as well.
Yeah. You're presuming God's mercy at that point
exactly.
on yourself. Yeah.
Exactly. But he's making the point now that we have a totally different life. And he's developing the point about how we have freedom in the spirit.
Yes.
Instead of trying to do the best we can with the law.
Mm-hmm.
And this is his whole thing. And I mean, in the whole book of Romans, are you up for reading verses 3 and 4?
Sure. For what the law, weakened by the flesh, was powerless to do, this God has done. By sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for the sake of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the righteous decree of the law might be fulfilled in us, who live not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit.
Woo.
Wow.
That's amazing.
It is.
So what the law couldn't do, okay,
mm-hmm.
they had 613 laws.
Right.
That was the covenant. Moses was the lawgiver.
Mm-hmm.
Moses was the mediator of that covenant.
Yeah.
The law came from God. The law was revealed to Moses in a very direct way. He gave the law to the people.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote the 5 books of Moses. He came down with the tablets, with
right.
the 10 commandments.
Right.
The rest of it, everything was written down.
Mm-hmm.
This was the law. This was the covenant. But the law couldn't take care of everybody, not because the law was bad, was because we were weak.
Yes.
And, you know, he says, you know, the law couldn't do it
mm-hmm.
because of weakness in the flesh. The
right.
law can't justify you. It can't sanctify you. The law within itself doesn't have grace or a pardon to it. It's a list of things to do, a list of things to not do. If you do the things, you'll be punished. If you don't do the things, that's good.
Right.
But it didn't make things right because of our weakness. We couldn't do it.
Exactly.
Ooh, this is a great song. Wow, we have the first break already. Wow. This is a gift of grace. You can find us on Facebook. So search for us on Facebook and at giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be back in just a minute.
We will be right back with the gift of grace right here on AM 1220, The Word.
Lord among gods, who can but worship as you shine? Who could ever know just a single gift, all the glory of your face, all the glory of your face, the diamond pearl, the angels' bow. world of grace and love, ever shining from your throne, ever shining from your throne, the diamond throne, the angels bow. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Glory burns, the saints cry out. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Who can stand up, Lord? Still the sound of heaven as they worship day and night. We fall upon our knees and join the ancient cry. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Most High. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, holy, holy. The diamond turns, the angels bow. Holy, holy, holy.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. Wow, we're in Romans chapter 8. Isn't that an awesome song?
Paul sings so nice.
Yeah, he does. Okay, Paul, be quiet for a minute. We've got to finish this. You can come back in a few little while. Anyway, that is Paul Wilbur singing, and Stephen and I would both say, whatever you do, buy the Desert Rain CD.
Yes.
That song is one of them.
You can't go wrong with it.
Whoa. Go to the website, buy whatever's there. We give them a lot of free advertising, but that's okay. Anyway, so Paul says that there's weakness. Now, the weakness, we should point out, is not in the law, because the law is divinely revealed.
Right.
The weakness is in the flesh.
The flesh, exactly.
Yeah. Our nature's the problem, not the law. And, of course, it all goes back to Adam and Eve. We're not going to rehash all that. But when we inherit the sin nature through Adam, we inherit that weakness of our flesh where we come to the law and say, oh, this law sounds really great, but I don't feel like doing that right now.
Right.
And,
exactly.
You know, the weakness is in our nature. And the law doesn't really have power to change us.
Right.
You know, it can discipline us and it can kind of show us where we are. It can show us what we are, it can show us how we're not as good as we think we are, we're not as holy as we think we are, we're not as righteous as we think we are.
Right.
And it doesn't take long to figure that out, but it can't really change it, change us. Can't change our nature.
You know, it's like when you tell someone, don't go in that room. Why not?
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
You start to go, I wonder what's there.
Yeah.
So you become curious. So yeah, it's of our own, in and of ourselves, humanly, we're never going to master the law of ourselves.
Yeah.
Spiritually, you know, if we allow the spirit to take possession of us and to rule over us, as if we really say that Jesus is the Lord of our life, and we allow the Holy Spirit to dwell in us and take possession of us, then by the grace of God, we're going to follow God's will and His laws.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, Paul makes this whole comparison of the law versus the grace we have through the sacrifice of Christ, because the law doesn't have any provision in it if you fail. I mean, if you fail, you're not righteous anymore.
Right.
You mean you're condemned now.
There's no provision for...
There's no provision for, just ask for forgiveness and you'll be okay.
Restoration, yeah.
You know, you can make blood atonements and you can, you know, do the things that, you know, we've talked about in the past, but
there's
not grace in the sense of turning to God and saying, I'm sorry for what I just did. Please forgive me. That's not part of the law.
Right.
That's in the covenant of grace. And, you know, in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 4 and 5, which, you know, is later on in the Bible, you know, the writer of the Hebrews is talking about the sacrifices. He's talking about the law, the Torah. And he says in verse 4, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. I mean, the blood of animals was the law. And this was atonement, you know, blood atonement, sin causes death. But that the blood of animals can't really change us, can't really take away our sins.
Right.
And, you know, the writer of the Hebrews is comparing that to the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, saying that, you know, his blood has infinite value.
Yes.
Not only can it take away our sin, but it can change us through the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the blood of Jesus washes us.
Yeah.
You know, and many times we hear it referred to as, you know, the blood of Jesus has washed our sins away, and we're as white as snow.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, we've also talked many times on the program where, you know, if we were still in the covenant of law or the Old Testament, you'd have to basically carry a sheep around with you because in case you sinned, you know, and you wanted to be righteous before God, you'd have to offer that sacrifice for the sin you just committed. So
I'd have to have a whole flock.
Yeah. Right. It'd be a big caravan for me. I know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and this is, you know, the fact that this is the same fact that the writer of the Hebrews says, you know, this doesn't change me.
Right.
Whereas now I can be changed because the law showed you where you stood and showed you what your wounds were, but didn't really have a way for you to change.
Right.
You know, it was kind of, well, you messed up this pretty badly. Now you got to try harder. You can't mess this up again. You got to try harder. You know, it was kind of like an athlete always training to do better.
Right.
And, you know, Paul says now the law couldn't do that, but now grace can do this.
Yeah.
And it's because of what Jesus did that we're in the covenant of grace, and we can receive a new nature now. We can be changed because now we can walk in the Spirit.
Exactly.
And he says we're freed from sin and death. Because in this sacrifice, sin was condemned in Jesus.
Yes.
You know, you notice how he says there in what you read, you know, what the law couldn't do because there was weakness, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And so sin was condemned in his flesh. This is remarkable.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus looked like, you know, what he's talking about here, sinful flesh. Jesus looked like an ordinary man.
Yes.
You know, you and I are ordinary men, and we have sinful flesh.
Right.
I mean, and so does everybody else I can think of that I know.
Yeah.
That's just the human condition. But here was the Messiah who had flesh and looked like everybody else, but he didn't have sinful flesh.
Right.
He was like us in all things but sin.
Exactly.
And through that, through him, sin was condemned in his flesh by his death.
Right.
And by the shedding of his blood.
Yeah.
And just like the animal sacrifices in the Torah prefigured this, you know, the law. And again, as you were talking earlier, Steve, about, you know, God showing his glory. God shows his glory by saying, oh, you haven't kept the law, but guess what? You could still be saved.
Exactly.
I'm going to save you.
Yeah.
You know, he becomes the author, you know, Hebrews again, he becomes the author of salvation.
God's mercy is glorified.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Grace and mercy is glorified. Exactly right. So that we have no place to boast.
Yeah.
There's no boasting. I mean, one thing you're going to learn from Paul is no boasting.
No boasting at all.
Right. And, you know, the way he describes this, that, you know, what the law couldn't do, he did by sending his son. So that the righteous, so that the requirements of the law could be fulfilled in us. You know, not that we're going to fulfill the law. It's going to be fulfilled in us by what he did.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be justified by what he did.
Yeah.
Because his flesh, even though it looked like sinful flesh, wasn't sinful flesh, but sin was destroyed in that.
Yeah.
So, you know, the devil's disarmed.
Exactly.
Because now the devil's like, wow, I can't believe this happened. This like ruins my whole thing here.
Yeah. And we're all in, you know, we're all in Messiah.
Yeah.
We're all a part of Messiah because he's the only one that can save us.
Yeah.
You know, we're all members of the same body.
Right.
So there is no one that can stand out and say they're separated from Messiah as if they've done it themselves.
Right.
We're all in the same place. We're all in Messiah together in the body of Christ. And as you're talking about that, I think it brings out what it is to be in the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
What is the body of Christ? You know, it's all those who believe.
Mm-hmm.
It's all those who have been redeemed by his blood. It's all those who have been saved by God's grace that follow the Lord. And it's not them. You know, it's not any one individual of themselves, but it's all by God's grace and all in Messiah.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And two, you know, as you were saying that, made me think of something that I should have mentioned when Paul was talking about how the law couldn't fix this. The law showed us, too, how we were separated from God.
Exactly.
And that we, as unholy, couldn't approach the holy.
Right.
This is why there's veils. This is why there's separations.
Right.
This is why the ark was behind a veil.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is why on Good Friday the veil is torn from top to bottom. Because now the separation is gone.
Yeah, Moses couldn't see God's face.
That's right. Couldn't see God's face. Couldn't see his glory. But now we can.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and it's not because all of a sudden we all became sinless. You know, it's all of a sudden no humans have committed sin anymore. It's a matter of his gift of grace. Wait a minute.
That should be a radio show.
Yeah, it's just...
You're probably tired of hearing that joke.
It's all because of this gift of grace that, you know, the death is conquered. You know, death is the last enemy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus says death's the last enemy, and it's conquered now. Because now we are going to still physically die.
Right.
But we're not going to eternally die if we come to Messiah, walk according to the Spirit, you know, repent of what we've done, follow, and become part of his body.
Yeah.
We're not going to eternally die.
Yeah. We're going to physically die.
Right.
The first death, but the second death, spiritually.
Exactly.
You know, we don't want to experience the second death because that's
Revelation
eternal.
The second death is the bad death.
Yeah.
First death everybody's going to have.
That's spiritual.
Yes.
And, you know, it brings me back to, as we're talking about this, and I know that we spent a good amount of weeks on Christmas and, you know, the wise men, everything, the Epiphany, but it brings me back to what we celebrate during that season mm-hmm. of how God's glory is revealed in this yeah. child, in Jesus, born as a child, and the glory of God's revealed in this child.
Yeah.
You know, that people longed and waited to see this.
Yeah.
You know, and Jesus tells his disciples, you know, there's plenty of prophets wanted to see yeah. what you see, and they didn't see it.
Yeah.
They wanted to hear what you hear, and they didn't hear it.
Yeah.
And God's glory is revealed in such a magnificent way. You mm. know, it's such a miraculous way that God's, you know, again, God is glorified in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
You
That's
know,
awesome.
Thinking back to those shepherds, you know, seeing those angels saying glory to God is like, wow, what is this?
Yeah. And, you know, later on in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, Paul again writes that he who did not know sin became sin.
Mm-hmm.
The same idea of he had the appearance of sinful flesh who wasn't sinful flesh, but then sin is condemned in yeah. his flesh.
Yeah.
He becomes sin and the sin is condemned so that justice is satisfied.
Yeah.
And this is why, and this is the other thing to keep in mind is we don't have, and especially in the time we live in, we don't really have kind of a solid idea of God's holiness and justice. You know, God does True. Not, cannot just overlook sin and say, oh, well, okay, everybody's a sinner, so what? Mm-hmm. Let's just forget the whole thing.
Yeah.
I mean, could he have said, you know, he could have gone down to the garden and said, you know what, you guys, you ate from the tree. Well, let's just forget the whole thing. Because then his nature of being all just and all holy would be violated.
Exactly. Yeah.
But this is the mechanism by which divine justice is satisfied.
Yes.
Because the wrath is poured out on Jesus instead of on us. So the breach of the law is repaired for us.
Yeah.
Without us really doing anything because we can't do anything.
Yeah. You know, in essence, you know, if you're on trial for something, let's say you were on trial for a crime that you committed and you're about to be sentenced by the
yeah.
judge, you
yeah.
know, you're found guilty by the jury and the judge is ready to read your sentence and upsteps another person and says,
yeah.
you know, Your Honor, I want to take this person's place.
Yeah.
That's what Jesus did for us.
Yep.
And it's so amazing because it would be like an innocent, it is an innocent person.
Yeah.
Taking our place, taking my place, and saying, I'm gonna suffer the penalty and the judgment for what you did. And then letting that person go free and say, you're free.
You're free.
Go.
Yeah.
And it's such an amazing act of
yeah.
love and mercy.
And, you know, and I referred to the book of Hebrews a little while ago, but the book of Hebrews really ties all this together because mm-hmm. it's all about Jesus being an eternal high priest and being the sacrifice.
Exactly.
You know,
the
blood of bulls and goats. Okay. The high priest went through the veil with the blood of bulls and goats.
Yeah.
You know, that's what he had to do. But Jesus went through the veil with his own blood.
Exactly.
And so of infinite value.
Mm-hmm.
And so the breach of the law is repaired.
Yeah.
And the separation is gone.
Yeah.
Because now the law has been fulfilled, and the penalty that's due to us because of the law has been paid for.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the good news.
Yeah. And it's amazing.
Yeah. So the righteousness of the law is fulfilled. And as he put it in that thing, it's not fulfilled by us, it's fulfilled in us.
Mm-hmm.
Oof. That's pretty
exciting. Is Paul back?
He is. All right, let's let him sing for a while,
okay.
or else he's going to get all cranky. All right, we'll be back. We'll be back with the Gift of Grace in just a minute. Remember, Facebook and giftofgraceministries.org.
We will be right back with the Gift of Grace right here on AM 1220, The Word.
Lord, it's my light and my salvation. Why should I be afraid? Strong tower.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Boy, we're coming up to the end of the show already. I can't believe it.
But anyway, it's always great to hear Paul sing.
Yes. So we got Paul singing. We got St. Paul over here. So this is great. It's like a Paul day. Anyway. So basically, you know, after all this, the bottom line of this, and this is for, you know, if some of you are listening and you don't have a clue what we're talking about, and you don't have a clue who Jesus is and what he did for you, and you don't have a clue of what salvation is all about, the bottom line of what we just said is, if you're not in Christ, then you have to be judged by the law.
Mm-hmm.
If you're, you know, in your carnal self, going about your normal life, and you're not in Christ, then when your judgment comes, and it's going to come, mm-hmm. you know, it's not politically correct to say that, but it is going to come, then if you're not in Christ, you're going to be judged by the law.
Yeah. And, you know, and I think we've talked many times on this show about law and grace, and, you know, there's people that think the law is done away with. They think it's all grace. And what you're saying is so important, because if you do not believe that Jesus is the Messiah and that he is the atonement for sin,
mm-hmm.
my sin, your sin, everyone's sin, then you are going to be judged by God's law.
You're on your own.
I mean, you know, you're going to be in a
world of hurt.
A world of hurt going, but Lord, I thought the law was done away with. No. Because Jesus, you know, Jesus himself said, I didn't come to abolish, I came to fulfill the law.
Yeah. And, you know, so this is why, you know, to summarize the next couple of verses without reading them, this is why Paul tells us we shouldn't be walking in the flesh. We should be walking with the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you know where you stand too, because, you know, you're going to know by what you want to do, what you like to do, where your heart tells you to go, you know, where you stand.
Mm-hmm.
If you're walking with the Spirit, you're going to live a much different life than if you're walking according to the flesh.
Yeah.
And it's a very important thing to keep in mind. And because actually, why don't you read verse 7 and 8?
Okay.
Make one more point about this.
For the concern of the flesh is hostility toward God. It does not submit to the law of God, nor can it. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God.
Right. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So what does that mean? That means if you're living your life as sort of the normal carnal person doing your own thing, you know, you're an unrepentant sinner, you want to live life your way, you don't want to be told what to do, you'll do whatever you feel like doing, you can't please God. If you live in the flesh, you can't please God. You know, the normal mind, you know, the carnal mind, our brain, you know, is it, war is in rebellion all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said human heart is set on evil. All these evil things come out of it.
Yeah.
You know, our mind doesn't want to obey the law.
Right.
We don't want to be in submission. We want to do our own thing.
Right.
And so there's a hostility. There's an enmity between that and God. The flesh doesn't want to be subject to the law.
Right.
And so, you know, if you're in the flesh, you can't please God. It's an opposition. You're in opposition and you're in rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
You rebel against authority. It can't, you know, it's like light and darkness. You can't reconcile them.
Yeah.
You can't say, well, I'll go do all my own thing, do whatever I feel like doing, but I'm still okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you're not okay.
Right.
Now, in our culture, in our time that we're living, it's politically correct to say, hey, you know what? Who are you to say what's right and wrong? You know, do whatever you want.
Yeah, that
everything
happens.
Is okay.
That goes on.
You know,
yeah.
All the roads lead to the same place.
Yeah.
And that goes back to what we were just talking about, world of hurt, because that's not the truth.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the biblical truth. It's not the truth of the gospel. These things cannot be reconciled. Light and darkness can't be reconciled.
Yeah.
But grace can change darkness into light.
Yes.
I can attest to that. You can attest to that.
Mm-hmm.
All of you out there that have come to the Lord can attest to that. You know, you can probably have, you know, if you all called in and told us your testimonies, we could all be blown away by any hundreds of testimonies because it's so cool.
Well, you know, what would amaze me is, you know, my wife and I would share testimony a lot and of how the Lord brought us out of darkness into his own marvelous light. And it's really nothing that we did.
Mm-hmm.
but it's all for God's glory. But after a while, I realized that it was because I was so far away from the Lord that the Lord had to take such drastic steps to get me back.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it's just a reality of, like you said, it shows you where you stand before the holiness of God. And you have to come to that place of just being realistic of,
yeah,
who am I and who is the Creator?
Yeah.
You know, I'm a creature. I was,
yeah,
created by God, and it's just by His grace.
Yeah. That's right.
That I am saved.
Yeah.
And He's given me this wonderful,
yeah,
gift of,
yeah,
of life.
Yeah. And then the Spirit comes and dwells in you.
Yeah.
You know, and even though our bodies are kind of, you know, made out of clay and, you know, we're decaying and,
mm-hmm,
some of us are, you know, have gotten bald and some of us have gotten old and some,
yeah,
of us are diabetic or have high blood pressure or have heart disease, you know, whatever you have,
mm-hmm,
the Spirit still gives life.
Yes.
Even though your clay body's just kind of like, you know, putzing along.
Yeah.
Like, that's not what's important. Your,
mm-hmm,
body is important because it's the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
But it's the Spirit that helps us. It's,
yes,
the Spirit that produces life. And it's the Spirit that helps us conform to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, try to make us more like Him.
That we put on the mind of Christ.
Right, exactly.
That we're transformed.
And try to do that on your own. But it's pretty tough.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a matter of, like you said before, we're all going to die. And eventually,
yes,
these clay bodies are going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually they'll be glorified again. But the clay body's going to die. And Jesus Himself in Matthew 22 talked about, you know, even though Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were dead,
mm-hmm,
God is still their God because God's a, you know, God of the living.
Yeah.
So they're still living somewhere.
Right.
He's the God of the living. It's not like, well, somebody dies and then, you know, they're gone and there's no more trace of them.
Right.
He's still their God, even though they're physically dead.
Exactly. Yeah.
And this is all life that comes in the Spirit. Wow. I can't believe this is over.
Life in the Spirit. That sounds like a good idea.
Yeah. We should
do a seminar.
Yeah. We should talk about that on a,
yeah,
show. That would be good. Wow. Well, at the end of another show. Thanks for listening. I hope you've all had an awesome Lord's Day today.
It's been great being with you this evening, sharing God's Word and speaking His truth and His wisdom. And we just hope that you've had an awesome Lord's Day and that you have an awesome week. And we'll be back here next week on The Gift of Grace. Good night, everyone. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.